Hello and welcome to Starter Set. My name, Ed Sylvester. This is
Sam Bradley.
And welcome to the show that takes you deeper into the pages of Dungeons and Dragons. Did it sound like I was falling down a well then?
A little bit, but also getting closer. Like I'm already at the bottom of the well and you're coming towards me.
Look out, you're going to break my fall. Hello, Sam.
Hello, Ed.
Tell me, how has your Dungeons and Dragons week been? What have you been up to, my friend?
Ooh, what have I been up to? I didn't play Dungeons and Dragons on Tuesday because our DM has befallen a little bit of a health complication. He's all right, which is good, but it's just going to keep him out of the game for a couple of weeks. So there was no Dungeons and Dragons this week, no game at least. So I filled that void by watching and doing things that inspire me to write or like Dungeons and Dragons. So I watched the last episode of the Marvel What If show.
Yep, I've heard good things. I've not seen it yet.
Well, you know, you've heard good things. Those people have lied to you. I don't know how much of the series that you've watched, but those people have lied to you. It's not that bad. A lot of the middle... I mean, how many episodes are there now? 9 episodes, including the finale?
Something like that.
Like, yeah, episode 1 was interesting. Episode 9 was at least a payoff. Everything between then has been kind of middling for me.
Sure.
I was a little bit disappointed, but glad it was over, because it means we're closer to the next thing that they decide to do, which is going to be the Hawkeye show. Which got me thinking about ranges and stuff. So, I did fucking watch the, to prepare us for the multiverse Spider-Man movie, Netflix have dropped all the Spider-Man movies onto Netflix. So, the Tobey Maguire ones are there, and I watched the first one of those, and fuck me, does that movie hold up?
Yeah. Like, very good.
Brilliant. Not a weak link in that movie.
It definitely brought back the superhero film.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, forget the X-Men. Like, Spider-Man did it.
Yeah, the standalone, that's ready to go, because the X-Men sort of stuff was fine, it was very middling, and then Spider-Man comes back and they're like, right, let's do more X-Men. Hugh Jackman's entire career is fueled based upon Spider-Man being successful, the first one at least. More so than actually Spider-Man itself carrying on.
You mean Wolverine?
Yeah, I do. What I mean is just out of doing that. Yeah,
doing that thing. Yeah. That was the Marvel movies that I watched. I also started doing like a little game with myself, like imagining in like 20, 30 years when they re-edit it all to make it all part of one thing. And they fucking will. Is like in the first one, you know, Norman Oscorp is going against Quest Aerospace. It's like, well, that's obviously going to be re-edited to like Hammer Tech or stuff like that, because I think Jonah in number 2, when they're trying to think of a name for Dr. Octopus, the guy says, oh, what about Doctor Strange? And he goes, it's great, but it's taken. And it's like everyone in the cinema was like, oh, maybe. It's like, not for another 20 years, bitch. So just stuff like that. What else have I been up to? That's kind of my week, really. I've been preparing for my new addition. So I was building cribs and painting rooms and that kind of stuff.
Right, fair enough. That makes sense. Yeah.
What about you, Eduardo? What's your week in D&D been like?
Oh! My week in D&D, Sam.
Why don't they do that at the beginning of the news?
I think everybody would just tune in a little bit more, you know.
Just in case the gongs, bong, fucking missile strike in Southeast China, bong, heroin epidemic. Welcome to the news.
Everybody be like, oh, right, okay, it's time for the news. That's the news noise. yeah. My D&D week has been fun, actually. We record this show before my other Wednesday game, so I'm about to finish this show and then go off and play some more D&D. Oh, can't get enough of it. Put it in my eyeballs. everywhere. So, yeah, had a lot of fun as an alias, the wizard, which is good. So we caught up. What are we doing? Oh yeah, fuck. We're off to a city called Wasakim, which is great because you can just be like Wasakim. So that's fun.
Yep.
But we think it's a Yuan Ti city. You'll be pleased to know.
Oh.
Because everyone we've talked to, they've been like,
why?
Well, they're a snaky bunch.
Everyone I've talked to has had a lisp. Ugh.
Yeah. So that's really. So I'm quite excited for that, and I'm also off to go and see another wizard, whose like wizarding title is the Mad, Siskin the Mad, or the Insane, or something nice. Like that. So
that's cool.
Yeah, you know how wizards are like. Oh, there's Gerald the Serious. But
what
like,
would yours be? What would your name? Edward the.
Right. this is dangerous, isn't it?
Go on.
Let's go with genius.
Edward the Genius.
Yeah.
That's really what you think he was. Okay. I was gonna go with like
I doled it down.
I think
as
mine
well.
Would be like Samuel the annoyingly early.
Sure. Like, oh
hey,
yeah.
Hey, that's hi guys, and then I'd just already be there.
How about Edward the overly dynamic, thanks to my range of shouts and calls that just come out of nowhere.
Yeah, Edward the baritone.
Yeah, yeah. Ready for spells? Just all
yeah,
the time.
Exactly.
Yeah,
Edward the upsettingly loud.
So that's quite fun. That's quite a good little wizardy thing. Maybe I draw you in with a whisper, just like, "Hey, everybody, how's it going?"
That is what you do on this show. Don't do an example. This is the show.
I know it's the show, and this is what I'm doing. So, as we carry on with the show. Let us now turn ourselves towards the ads before we get into more Triple M.
That's a lovely thing. That's a lovely note. We'll be back with Elephant People in a bit. Play some ads.
Are you an avid player of The Elder Scrolls Online and looking to take your game to that next level? Well, the Red Diamond Courier podcast is here to help. I'm Bob Chachinski.
And I'm DogBark24.
We are two experienced players aiming to help others learn and improve through in-game knowledge and references.
From PvE
to PvP
and everything in between.
There's sure to be something for you in the Red Diamond Courier.
We hope you check us out. Thanks.
Hello! And welcome back to.
Ooh, there we go. That's a little example of that wizard. Yeah, lovely.
Welcome back to more miscellaneous Marvels. This week we are talking tusks, trunks, and big old ears. We are talking elephant people, also known as Samuel
Loxodon. That was a really good introduction to them.
Cheers.
Because they is again continuing the blank people.
Yes, of D&D.
Lion people, or fucking cat people, or. Snake people, now it's elephant people. And do you know what, reading about them and doing the what little research I do for this show, I'm actually digging it. I quite like them. I think they're a nice, well, we'll get into it, but they're a nice countenance to some of the other races that are good with magic and live a hell of a long time.
Yes,
shall we say.
Yeah, so so the interesting thing here is obviously we've said that, like, yes, this is more insert animal and then people following, right? And I think, and the reason why we're doing this and looking at this, or the reason why these guys exist ultimately is because Magic the Gathering exists, right? And
now, yeah, I've heard of this, and this is where I'm gonna Sam the Contrary's here again. I've heard of it, and I've never really messed with it.
No.
Not through any kind of contrary reasons or whatever, because I genuinely don't know enough about it to say whether it's something that interests me or not. I just never got into it. Like, I was kind of one of those kids that played Pokemon, but only collected the pictures because I knew the Pokemon. And then I played, like, you remember Yu-Gi-Oh?
Yeah.
Remember Yu-Gi-Oh? That was a whole thing around, the card game was the thing. So I used to play that in as much as the way you're supposed to play it. But then I kind of didn't get into Magic the Gathering. I didn't make that
connection.
Like, if this was Skyrim, I didn't then go up further through the skill tree, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's fine. And that's somewhat my experience of Magic as well. Like, I played it very briefly as a kid in the 90s, and then now I play a lot of different card games, and for those who are interested, my primary ones are Marvel Champions and Ashes, Rise of the Phoenixborn, especially since the revised edition and everything has come to play. And I'll tell you, maybe in an offshoot or maybe in the behind-the-scenes podcast that we do for the Patreon, I'll get into that a bit more. But anyway,
I've always wanted to play that Marvel Champions game.
It's brilliant. Not
against card games, because it sounds really fun. But again, yeah, for another time. So what links Loxodon and Magic the Gathering?
Do
Wizards of the Coast own Magic the Gathering, I guess?
Oh, Sam, what a fantastic leading question. Yeah. Yes, they
do. Sam, the leading question master.
Yes, they do. So so Wizards also own Magic, and we have seen in the past year them basically try and capitalise on the fact that both of these IPs are fantasy-related, ergo, the one that buys this should buy this. And sure, there is a certain portion of people that hit that Venn diagram of liking both areas. But I think that somewhat missed the mark, and I'll get into why as well in a moment. But basically, Loxodons, they're found in the Guildmaster's Guide to Ravnica, which is a book which is set in the lore and realm of one of the worlds of Magic the Gathering, right?
Right, okay, that makes... Okay, got it.
Yeah, so a lot of the cultural pulls are all from that world specifically. Now, the interesting thing with that culture and the way that it works for Loxodons, and to be fair, I can see exactly where this kind of culture's come from and all that sort of stuff. Basically, because we'll get into culture at the back end of it, but this is how they kind of come into fruition. But they're all about kind of slow, patient, steadiness, everything that you would basically expect from an elephant, ultimately.
An elephant.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then unbridled rage when you get them really going. But we'll crack into that in a minute. This is this sort of cross-compatible affiliation thing of two different worlds meeting. And I find a lot of the time, especially those Magic players and the D&D players that also get both areas, a lot of the time they're your power gamers and your rules lawyers. Because, those guys belong at a table to a degree. The rules lawyer, you know, is and this is the thing. As with everything, it's always to a degree, because the rules lawyer is there to help the DM. When the DM goes, I can't remember what jumping rules are because I haven't used it in ages, and the rules lawyer pops up and goes, it's this. And you're like, thanks, rules lawyer. Appreciate that. Rather than being like, you're doing it wrong, this isn't what it is, blah, 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 blah. And
whereas, and also with power gamers, it's like, oops, I fucked up, and this thing is way too powerful, or this puzzle's way too hard, but luckily this person has built a character so dead on the nose for this situation that roll a wisdom check, that's a 9 plus, 10.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so I can get through it. So then you're kind of like, oh, thank God you're here. Eric, your Tarthage character's kind of like that in a sense.
Yeah, that is true, actually. I didn't build him that way, but he's just turned out to be quite tasty.
It's good at that situation, yeah.
Yeah. So that's where the kind of crossover in the Venn diagram is. Basically, because Magic is set up as a set rules that you use to win. D&D is obviously a different thing where these rules are set to experience a journey. And that's the difference between the two, really. So that's why you might... I think Wizards haven't had the amount of success that they wanted to with that cross... thing, because they also did D&D sets for Magic the Gathering, so they're really
sort of disappeared overnight.
They did,
like, because I remember talking about it with a couple of people. I remember watching you talk about it with a few people on the Discord a little while ago, and then everyone was like, "Oh, I don't know," and then it just sort of everyone stopped talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'll be doing is I'll be buying those packs secondhand, and then using them to create game tokens. So I'll just cut out The good artworks. The artworks on these cards is fantastic, but you just cut out that and then you've like, here's my token, here's my elf, and I can move them around. Job done. Way cheaper than minis. Perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, banging. Yeah, so that's how you cut corners, but also do cutouts. Oh, wordplay.
Very good.
Should we get into the mechanics of it all?
Yeah, Sam, so you've done the research, mate. Why don't you crack into the mechanical world of Loxodons? Loxodons. Who's a Don? You's a Don.
Well, yes, exactly. So a lot... a lot of their abilities and stuff, it will come as no surprise now that they lean into the, well, elephants in real life can do this, so this is what Loxodons can do.
Mm.
You know, it's not as flamboyantly messed up as the Yuan Ti, which is weird in as much as, oh, some snakes can spit poison, so fucking here's poison spray, and you work out how that works mechanically. No. These are much truer. So if you're a fan of elephants, why wouldn't you be? You're going to get on well with these. So you do get a constitution bump of 2. Makes sense. You get a wisdom score increase of 1. Makes sense. Now, here's what I mentioned at the beginning of the show. Loxodons don't reach any kind of maturity until like age 60. And they live for about 450 years, something like that. Mm. But they're kind of, their whole thing, they're much more chilled out than elves, at least on the face of it, I think. Their alignment, like, mostly lawful, like, because they're quite peaceful, quite knowingly docile.
Yeah.
I would say not docile, too stupid to get involved. They've just seen enough and they're like, nah, we'll just watch this shit play out for a couple of hundred years. It's no skin off our trunks. Ooh. You're 7-8 feet tall, so you're pretty big. You weigh like 400 pounds, but your size is still medium. Obviously, that's just kind of how it goes. Base walking speed is 30 feet. Now, here's where we get to, like, the elephant.
In the room.
Yeah. Fucking well done. Well done. Didn't even see it coming. Like an elephant in the room. Oh, God, there's so many layers to that joke. It's like doing a podcast with Seinfeld. Anyway, so you get something called Loxodon Serenity, which basically means you have saving throws against being frightened or charmed, which... super useful depending on your situation.
Mm.
You have a thing called natural armor because you've got obviously the hide of an elephant, like that big, thick, tough yep. skin. And when you're not wearing armor, your AC is 12 plus your constitution modifier, which, as we've already said, takes a bump anyway,
yeah.
which is good. You can also stack a shield on top of that, but you can't stack the barbarian armor thing, which we'll get to in a little bit. Or else that would be fucking... it'd just be the tankiest of tanks. So just have that in mind. Yes, you have a trunk. And yes, it has an extra reach of like 5 feet. And you can lift stuff equal to, I think it's 5 times your strength score. And you can use that to pull objects. You can use that to pick stuff up.
Ah.
Yeah, it doesn't say you can use it to wield a weapon, which I think is a missed opportunity, but you can grapple and make an unarmed strike, and you can also breathe through it, which is kind of cool, because obviously if you're in that situation where you're like, shit, everyone hide, I'm an elephant, what am I going to do? Do you know what I mean? You can go into the pool, it's got 5 feet reach, you could technically be, you know, depending on how your DM plays it, sort of, you know, like SEAL Team 6, just have it poking out the top. Which I think is really cool.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it is really cool. You can't, as I say, you can't use it to wield weapons or shields. Or I think it's more anything that requires, like, precision. Because it's just like...
The grapple piece
yeah.
is very good.
Yeah.
Because you can use your trunk to grapple, and then you get some serious bonuses. Yeah. So you grapple, and then you just start wailing with a couple
big sticks. Or yeah, you can just, like, bang someone's head against the table or something.
Yeah.
You might not be able to do anything like acutely precise with it, but you do get this thing called keen smell, which, thanks to your sensitive trunk, you have advantage on wisdom, perception, and survival and investigation checks that involve smell. Now, we all kind of know that you can explain your way around a lot of stuff to your DM.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to get a general gist of XYZ, but I want to do it using this thing, so I'm going to roll perception, not investigation, because I get a boost on one and not the other. So
using my smell.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're tracking down a criminal, well, chances are they've been in jail and they stink, so I'm going to, you know, put my trunk under the door and like, are you in here? you can also, and it does fall into the language thing that we spoke about last week.
Yes.
I think it was. In as much as you can speak, read, and write common, and, oh, something useful. No! Loxodon.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately not. What I do like about that, though, with the Loxodon piece, is you know how elephants can communicate through, like, low frequency noises that they make that travel through the ground and up through their own feet? So that's, like...
I didn't know that. That's not a real thing.
That's that's a legitimate thing, my friend. You know when you see like bull elephants getting rowdy and about to charge and stuff like that, and they make that be described as like a growling noise.
Yeah.
Like that's just the top part of what we can hear coming out of that thing. If you think about that.
Oh, and it's like yeah.
Yeah, so that can then go through there. So they have this full communication piece that they can do, which just humans obviously can't pick up on because we're not, you know, our audible range isn't set up like that, and we don't have our four giant feet on the floor picking up those vibrations and stuff like that.
Interesting. Yeah. That is interesting. Now, they don't get anything to do with their tusks, which I'm okay with that. Missed opportunity. Yeah, but I think that you get so much with the trunk. It's like, okay, let's not wreck the game. you also get this thing called Powerful Build, which I don't really think matters, but it means that you count as one size large. I think furbogs get it as well. Carry like much more shit because you're counted as a large thing, not a medium thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly
basically.
It.
Mechanically, they got a lot of stuff, but if you look at where they get their boosts, it's kind of they're obviously built to do a couple of things. Obviously, the obvious ones being clerics and druids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thematically and in terms of how they're built. Because you've got the wisdom the wisdom boost and the constitution boost. I would like to think you could make a pretty decent ranger out of one of these.
So you're right. And I like and that's right. That is the Loxodon out of the box sort of vibe, right? And it reminds me of Ents, or they remind me of Ents, in that they are these big, slow-to-move, long-decision-making individuals, but when they get going, they'll start doing stuff. And they've got this high constitution because they're these big things. Like, I mean, yes, Ents are trees, but, you know, these guys are big elephant guys. But in that same sense, if we look down that area and start looking at it a little bit more intensely, these guys can make some fun barbarians.
I did think that, but
it's that
the unarmored defense thing.
Whatever, doesn't matter. It's fine. You know, like everybody. Yes, you lose a racial bonus, but like everybody else has got something that may be a little bit superfluous to their actual needs when it comes to their race.
Yeah, that's fair,
and that's okay. But it's the big constitution, the big body, the big everything. And I love the idea.
But you don't get a strength boost either.
No, but the constitution piece is part of it. So you obviously you do your big rolls. And you keep the biggest one, you put that into strength. Second highest, you put into constitution. So you're hardy and you can take your hits. You don't have to work, you know, you've got all that stuff. But then you've got your grappling trunk. And this is where shit gets really interesting. Because you start, you do that, you grapple somebody, and then you can push them after the grapple. Now, after that, they're on the floor, and then you can start wailing on them, you get advantage, all that sort of stuff. You don't necessarily have to use the reckless, but if you want to, you can, and you've got the hit points to soak it up. And I love...
And you've got the Loxodon Serenity as well.
Yeah, exactly. So what it does is it plays that barbarian, not as a mindless rage beast, but it plays the barbarian as this, I come from a place where we are slow to think... But once we act, we are an immovable force. We are.
It's the person that's like in the chaos.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Only in that chaos can they find the peace.
Yeah, yeah, that kind of thing. I just like the idea of somebody really having a long fuse ultimately. So
yeah,
and then when that fuse is gone, it fucking goes big time, like a volcano.
Fear, you know? The wrath of the gentleman, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's exactly that. I really like them. So let's talk about maybe how you want to fit them in culturally. Yes, we've seen how, like, well, we see where they come from in Ravnica, and I'll quickly nip through those and how that works. So Ravnicans are basically split into three areas where they are. Ravnica is massively, is basically a giant city, and the the Luxodons in that city fit into three areas. They are kind of like your banking people, except they basically made a religion out of banking and money and worship cash, which is a little bit questionable. They're the legal areas, so they love a bit of, you know, again, slow thinking, bureaucratic. Judges take time to make decisions, and then they're also this kind of bastions of peace and taking it easy and kind of things, but
like the harbingers of balance, I guess, because if you control the money but you're also kind of a Buddhist, you get to literally set the weight value metric on everything.
Yeah to a degree. That's kind of the vibe, and that's where they fit in that area. But it's quite, you know, again, if you're homebrewing these and you want them in there because you're like, cool, I like the idea of these elephant people, I don't want to do the Ravnica stuff because it just doesn't fit in my home campaign, just look at elephants as they stand. They are families, like they're family orientated. There's usually not many of them. There's a matriarch, so you've got like a matriarchal society, and you can kind of do a little bit of a juxtaposition if you've got drow in your campaign and you're playing with typical drow, where that matriarchy is perceived as something that's evil or corrupted, which doesn't necessarily help any sort of modern ideals and thoughts in terms of gender stereotypes and moving those forwards at all. So having these guys in there is a really good example of changing how that works, and you can have this ancient female Loxodon leader who's like the grandma of the grandma of the grandma, and is, you know, a long time, just all-powerful being whose, you know, weight and will carry physical consequences into the world around them. And maybe you take their yearly, elephants have a yearly pilgrimage, or it's not a pilgrimage, what's it called, where they migration. Elephants are a migratory people, not people, animals, so they do their migration, but you can then flip that and make it a pilgrimage. But like, let's say that you've then got areas where that pilgrimage actually creates towns and cities, because you know that the Luxodon will be stopping, and whenever they stop throughout the year, that's when we have this celebration of thing. So you can have actual impact on your world coming from these guys, which I quite like.
It's like a whole thing. It's not just, oh, that's what they do. It's like, oh no, this is the thing, and it's the Luxodon thing just because it is.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I've got a character for you.
Yeah. Have you got a song as well, Samuel?
Oh, look over there. It's a great big trunk. I haven't got any more of the song because I can't think of it. I'm really drunk.
Whee, there you
Nailed go. Nailed it. Nailed it. Yeah.
Sam's character kind of. Box.
It's a box. I really like the idea of having some sort of a Loxodon bard, who's supposed to lead, or is at least sort of, you know, playing the trunk as off they go on this big pilgrimage, gets split up, gets captured, gets put in something like a human circus, so you can, or like a sentient person circus, in a nation where they don't have Loxodon. And that's either how you meet the party, and it's like, they think they've got me fucking lifting weights and moving stuff, but that's not what I'm about. Look, listen to this. You know, when he plays the trunk, plays the trunk or whatever. And, you know, you've got to get me out of here. Or I need to meet up with my tribe, because if they don't show me the way to the Loxodon graveyard, okay, I might not know now, but when I come to die, I can't take part in the ritual that sends me on to the afterworld. So you have to get me back on course to these things.
I like that. That's very nice. There's nice depth to that character as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also you can see the arc. You can even see the arc before it begins. It's this jovial, passive individual that very, through experience and time, turns into a wise character of somebody who maybe have depth to their soul. Nice. Yeah. Love it. Well, look, listen. That then brings us to the end of the show.
So there is one more thing before we leave you all here. We will be we won't be. Next week, you will be choosing what we talk about. Obviously, we've spoken a little bit about the brand new book, The Wild Beyond the Witchlight. There's two new races in there. The Harridans, the hair people, and that's the one. And then the Pixies. And basically, there's going to be a poll on the Patreon now that we will link to in the show notes. You can go and vote on what you want to hear us do the last ever more miscellaneous Marvels episode on.
Sounds very tasty. Samuel, what is the address that they can go to actually check that out?
Good question. That is patreon.com/starterset. That is what it is, isn't it?
That is 100% what it is. Well, there look, we listen, let's now proper bring the show to a close. As always, you have been our listeners. We have been Starter Set. Roll well. And we will see you next week. Goodbye.
I was forever trying to get a joke in about elephants, never forgetting. And I forgot it, ironically, right up until this last bit. I still don't have a joke for it. Goodbye, everybody.